Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Coming on to the end of March, finally. All right, it's March 29th, 2022, and I have a show for you today that's going to be incredibly interesting because my friend John White, who was an expert, one of my experts in rural education, okay, told me that he works with a group in the U.S. Department of Education that's called Comprehensive Centers. And they work in regions, you know, 5-6 states. And there's a number of these comprehensive centers. I had never heard of this section of professional education. And so John set me up with the folks from Region 5, which is West Virginia, Virginia. Let me get it here. I had it here a minute ago. West Virginia, Tennessee, and I can't remember who else. Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, and I'm going to get this in a second. I lost it here. Okay, on my sheet, but I'll get it for you in a second. But, oh, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Virginia. Okay, we got Dr. Kimberly Hambrick, who was the director of the Region 5 Comprehensive Center, and also from the U.S. Department of Education itself. Okay, we have Danielle Smith, who's the director of the Office of Program and Grantee Support Services, in the Office of Elementary and Secondary Education, long title. And we're going to find out all about comprehensive centers, and we're going to focus on the work of Center Comprehensive Center for Region 5. That's Dr. Hambrick Center. I can't wait to do this show, which we are going to archive at ace-ed.org. That is our home website for Equity and Access. Our magazine, Equity and Access, our online journal, is over there. Just click on the cover. It has a link to our teacher retention training website. Just click on teacher retention. You'll see it in the menu. And you can also click for our other website, which is seltoday.org. And again, it says SEL Today. You can go over there. All that from ace-ed.org. The website itself is terrific, and it's all about equity and access. All of our podcasts are over there, so please check it out. And without further ado, again, ace-ed.org, and let me bring on Kimberly and Danielle. And good morning. Let's start with Dr. Kimberly Hambrick. I'm Larry Jacobs. Good morning, Dr. Hambrick.
Oh, Larry, good morning. So wonderful to meet you and be on the show. Thank you for the opportunity.
Are you kidding me? This is my pleasure because I want to learn all about what you guys do, and this is fabulous. So welcome, Kimberly. I love having you here. Okay, this is great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Danielle, you too. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Larry. It's so nice to talk with you today. Thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm going to start with you. You have one of these great long titles. Thank you, U.S. government. Director of the Office of Program and Grantee Support Services. This must be, is your card like 3 feet long? Okay. Director of the Office of Program and Grantee Support Services, Office of Elementary and Secondary Education in the U.S. Department of Education. Okay. Talk to me. What do you do? Talk to me about all this. This is great. Danielle.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and we're really excited to talk with you about some of the work that we do here at the U.S. Department of Education. A lot of folks don't necessarily know what the federal government really does, and so it's great to have a chance to really talk about one of our programs that is really central in how the department supports states and their school systems across the country. My office, as you mentioned, resides within the Office of Elementary and Secondary Education, which is the part of the U.S. Department of Education that supports K-12 schools, so kindergarten through high school, elementary and secondary schools. We also work in early education to support students.
Cool.
And our office manages grant programs that support students across the country. This is one of those programs.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. And grants, you know, I have to just tell you this. I talk to so many school districts, and they always tell me how we had a grant, we were able to do this, we had a grant, we were able to do. I just think it's wonderful. Okay, and we can do more as we progress here and over the course of the year, because I want to keep people apprised of what you guys do. I think it's just great, and I don't want that stuff hidden in the weeds. I want it out there, and I know you want it out there too, right, Danielle?
Absolutely. You know, the department's mission is to promote student achievement and preparation for global competitiveness by fostering educational excellence and ensuring equal access, which essentially means that we want every student in every state, everywhere across the country, from our early learners to our adult learners, to have access to a high quality and excellent education. And one of the ways that we do that is by supporting grant programs that we administer that focus on ensuring every student can thrive, no matter their background, their zip code, their circumstance, the language they speak at home. And we provide this funding through federal grants to states, to school districts, to individual schools, to colleges and universities, and to others who provide educational services that improve the quality of education and close educational opportunity gaps. So that is really the focus of many federal programs, is how do we help students achieve? How do we close those educational opportunity gaps, which I know is a huge focus of your show?
It's so incredibly important, and it helps that equity and access. I mean, it's so vital. And just out of curiosity, were you an educator before you got into the federal government work? What was your background, Danielle?
Great question. I came through a less traditional path in that I studied education policy, and I started my career working in higher education as a supporter of community partnerships between a university and its local community, particularly focusing on partnerships that supported college access and opportunity. So I started my career in higher education, but with that K-12 focus, and studied education policy and knew that I wanted to make an impact on a larger scale, and eventually got into working with states and school districts directly to help them implement their programs, and eventually found my way to the federal government, where I've been working over the last 10 years with different programs that support how the department works as a partner with states and with the school districts that we provide funding to help them understand the research and best practices around education across the country, provide opportunities for them to connect with each other and learn from each other, and really make sure that we're doing everything that we can as a department to support the work that's happening in states and school systems across the country.
That's a wonderful career path. And in the hierarchy of the government, does Kimberly report into you? Is that how it works?
Yes, so Kimberly is one of my grantees. My office manages a number of programs that provide support to states and school districts, and one of those programs is the Comprehensive Centers Program. So what that program is it provides grants to a number of centers across the country. We ask our grantees to create these centers that provide support to states and the educational systems within those states. And so Kimberly's one of my grantees, and she's the director of one of our regional centers that we fund.
And so that leads me to my next question. Dr. Kimberly Hambrick, director of the Region 5 Comprehensive Center. Is Danielle being nice to you?
Danielle is always nice.
Good.
And it truly is a pleasure to work.
No,
it truly is a pleasure to work with and support the work of the U.S. Department of Education. So as a director of a regional comprehensive center, we submit a proposal and we work under the guidance of the Department of Education. But Danielle and her team are there for us. They're supportive of us. And we know that we have a network up to help us, and we have a network out, which is really good.
And I knew she was being nice to you all along. Yeah. Kim, I have to ask you, okay, this is an odd question, okay, but I'm not that familiar with the way grants work. So the word went out somehow, okay, I want Kim to answer this, that we were going, that the government was going to set up a Region 5 comprehensive center. And you, Dr. Hambrick, applied to run that and get the grant and be the director. Is that the way it works?
Almost. I didn't apply individually as a person. I've always been connected with corporations that went out for it. But Yes, the U.S. Department of Education releases requests for proposals.
Okay.
They put the guidance out there of what they're asking to do. And then organizations like the one I'm connected with now, WestSat, we pull together a team.
We make
a decision to see, can we offer the resource? Are we the best to offer this resource? And we pull a proposal together. And I've been in this business and since 1989, and I've actually been connected with
so
the Comprehensive Center.
Let me get this. You started when you were 11 years old.
Oh, you're so sweet. Absolutely.
I
was
no problem.
I
do math. I'm good at math.
I'm
good at math. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I've been with two different companies prior to this one, but I firmly believe in this region, which is Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia, and
yep.
the value that we can add to the region. And what we do is, we're just blessed, to have these opportunities to bring in resources. And when we talk about that, I'm not sitting here, my team's not sitting here creating new resources and or developing new resources. We first and foremost look to see what's already out there and tailor it to the work that we're being asked to do, because we're not reinventing the wheel. We want to be good stewards of federal dollars.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that, actually, as a citizen. We want the federal dollars to work and do well. I think that's great. Excuse me. So let me just ask another question. So you said WestSat, right? WESTAT?
Mm-hmm.
WestSat? Okay.
Yes.
WestSat is the company. I'm just trying to get this straight for everybody, that applied to run the grant from Danielle's office, okay, to set up the Comprehensive Center Region 5 in Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. And you run it for them. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And
wow.
WestSat, as the head company, also is very fortunate. Not only do we have Region 5, which is the one that I run, we also were awarded Region 14, which covers Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. And WestSat also was rewarded the National Center, and the National Comprehensive Center works collaboratively across all of the comprehensive centers. So we're very fortunate at WestSat to have amazing people to be able to do
Obviously.
This body of work.
And WestSat, I just want to ask this. What is WestSat? Is it a think tank? What is it?
I think the easiest way to refer to it, it's a professional services firm. And we work in different markets. So think about it as a consulting firm. And we have a market in education where the comprehensive centers are. But we also do a great body of work in health. And if the CEO is listening, he's going to realize I just blanked out. We have multiple markets that we work in.
That's all right. That's fascinating to me. I mean, it's just incredible. A lot of people, this is the whole thing, and I don't think a lot of people understand this. I know I didn't. Okay, and I think it's wonderful. Danielle, back to you. There are 14 regional centers?
There are actually 19 regional centers,
Larry. Oh, 19. Okay.
Yeah,
and
so the program
four states, or what?
Each regional center supports between 2 to 5 states. So the regional sizes vary, and some of that depends on the sizes of the states as well. But each region supports at least 2 to 5 states. And that also includes U.S. territories and outlying areas.
Of course.
So we serve everywhere from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and working with school systems across the country. And one of the really nice things about this regional model is that our regional centers can really get to know their states and the unique needs of those specific states and make connections with states across the region.
We
thought
talk
it was
about
really
that
important
network.
For our centers
yep.
to be able to just do deep dives with what the needs were in each state and their communities to really be able to tailor their services to the educational needs of those communities.
This is really cool. And how long has the Comprehensive Center program been in place, Danielle?
It's been around for a while, and it's gone through several iterations. It was most recently reauthorized in 2002 under the Education Sciences Reform Act. So every program that we administer at the U.S. Department of Education is written into law somewhere. So this program is written into law in a law called the Education Sciences Reform Act, and part of that law called the Educational Technical Assistance Act. So the work that we do is often referred to in our jargon world as technical assistance, and this is one of the department's signature programs that provides technical assistance to our education systems. And it gives us the authority to establish these comprehensive centers. The last time we made awards for these grants was in 2019, and we award them for five-year grant periods so that our centers really have enough time to establish relationships with their states and do work that we know, you know, we know that education transformation doesn't happen overnight, and it really is work that takes place over a number of years to think about what reforms
can be made,
put those programs
in place.
Truer words were never spoken.
Truer words were never spoken.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, nothing takes place overnight. And the last and important question for you, Danielle, am I the last person in the world in education to know about these? Or is this just a well-kept secret?
I think it's one of our best kept secrets, Larry.
Yeah.
You know, there's sort of a joke when you work in government that, you know, folks from the government show up and say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
But that is really the spirit of this program, is to provide support to our colleagues who are working in state school systems and in local systems across the country. And so the government is sponsoring this program. We provide the federal funding to create these centers. And then, as Kimberly mentioned, she puts together a team of excellent education professionals, researchers, folks who really know what the best practices in education look like and have the skills and the experience to support the folks who work in education agencies across the country.
And I have a link on the website to Region5CompCenter.org, Region5CompCenter.org. And then you, we'll talk about this in a second. There's these network improvement communities. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. But I did, I got to tell you, Kimberly, I went over and I looked at your staff, okay? And that is an incredible staff you have there. They're all PhDs, doctorates with long experience, like yourself, okay, in education. Okay, and a lot
truly
of brain power there. I got to tell you, that's just Region 5. That's just Region 5.
Yes.
And not to set up anything.
So
Danielle, how does Region 5 stack up against the other 18? Is it the best? Do you love Region 5 more than any other, Danielle?
I love Region 5, Larry. I love all of my centers. Each one of my centers are my favorite center because they all do really incredible work. And one of the nice things about this program is that we've been able to establish a network of all of our centers across the country. So we mentioned we have 19 regional centers. We also fund one national center that supports cross-state work across the country. So we really have the ability to connect people across states, across the country, and the great folks on Kimberly's team get to connect with the great folks on the teams of other regional centers as well. So it really is a rich professional community.
It's fantastic, and I hope people do go over and check it all out. Just go to Region 5 Cop Center. That'll give you a pretty good description of kind of what everybody does, and I'm sure you can go to the rest of them and figure it out. And there's a long website, which I can't give you now, from USDOE, but I will put it up on the site, okay, to get over there. Okay, this is really fascinating. So now back to Kimberly. Kimberly, you know that there are things called educational service agencies, and they're in most states, and they are kind of like a collaboration of district school district members, okay? And what do you guys do in relation to let me ask it a different way. How do school districts or states or ESAs tap in? And we're just going to use Region 5 as the example. What do they do? How do they tap into you? What do they need? What do you do for them? This is cool. Go ahead.
Well,
I love
you.
This. This is
it's a great question, and it is a collaboration. When we get funded, when we know we're the server for the region, I follow up with each chief state school officer and or commissioner, because it differs what they call themselves. That's the person who has oversight of all education in the state. And we work with them, and we have a conversation with them about what are your priority areas? What are you most interested in, or what's most pressing that we can help you with? And once we figure that out, then we look to find evidence-based practices. And we either look within our team expertise, we look across the other comprehensive center regions, or we look to other technical assistance providers. The U.S. Department of Ed has an amazing body of work in education. The comprehensive centers are just one of those. And so we always look out there, and then we offer support to help them stand up and sustain new practices, because let's just be, you know, it's just me and you talking here, Larry.
Right.
The State Departments of Education have a lot of things on their plate. And then
I work
you
with
factor
CCSSO,
in.
The Council of State,
so
you know. State School Officers, all the time. And I love having those folks on our shows. Okay? And
yes.
They work so hard and they try so hard to get the word down to the school districts. It's nice to know they have somebody to tap into above them. Not above them, but that they can tap into somebody. I think it's great what you guys do.
Yeah, no, thank you. And as we were talking about, educational transformation takes time. So some of the issues that have been bubbling up and have been there but may have been highlighted with the pandemic and other things, trauma-informed schools, helping students with these real need issues that are happening. Educator effectiveness. We're always asked and working with states. That's one of their priorities, to make sure they have the best and the brightest in those classrooms to teach our next generation. And equity and culturally responsive instruction. Those are a couple of the things that we do. But the bottom line is we want to make sure that we connect them with people with meaningful and effective ways to address educational issues. We're not doing this to better ourselves. We're doing this to better education overall, which
right.
then benefits us all.
Right. And so I'm going to run down a little list with you now. Kimberly. Okay. Do you like Kim or Kimberly? Mm-hmm. What should I call you? Which one do you like?
Either, but let's just go with Kimberly.
Kimberly. You got it. All right. Kimberly. Okay. I want to run down a list, okay, with you, because these are important. Mm-hmm. Equity. Okay, now that's important for us. We have the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's us at ace-ed.org. Okay, how's that mm-hmm. pop up across your four states? And I know it's important
it
in all four states. Believe me, I know that right across the country. Yeah, but how's it pop up? How do you help them?
Well, you're not going to like this answer, but it depends, because it is important, and it's how they ask us. So currently we're working with one of our states where they have a new person in an office of equity and diversity. And right now we've been pulling together. We've pulled together a resource, if you will, of different books, webinars, websites, podcasts that they can look into. And that team will be selecting something and doing a group study. And so they're looking outward to find resources that can help them address their original issue.
And why wouldn't I like that answer? Because you only had it from one? Is that what you're referring to? Or I love what you're doing.
Well, thank you. We love it too.
Yeah, I do. I think it's important. Please point them our way. We do a lot of work in that over at ace-ed.org. And I'm not doing that just to get more people. I'm telling you, we're happy to work with them and help them any way we can. You mentioned trauma-informed education, all right? And we are firm believers as it's the top priority these days. Well, I'll go with two top priorities. This top priority, they're tied. Social-emotional learning, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's key. What's going on out there? What are you hearing from your school districts, again, in Region 5, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia, about SEL? And how do you help them with that?
Well, it was always a priority, but to be perfectly transparent with the pandemic and students working, you know, school at home, and there are situations at home that aren't always ideal, and now you're putting a student into the home environment with other stress on it. And so we started to see a lot of issues, and one of the most telling things for me was at a training before the pandemic, before we stopped doing in person, with a State Department working with the counselors. And the counselors were sitting around the table. The counselors are the one who work with the educators, the teachers most closely. And a very simple comment was, who's helping us through all of this? And it was from a counselor. And we started to see and work with the states to understand that social-emotional learning is from top down as well. And so we've worked closely with Region 14, that's also at WestStat, to do a series of webinars to first and foremost provide the State Department of Education staff with what's this called a self-care plan to make sure that they're taking care of their needs. And then that rolls down to the educators. And for the educators to do that, and then we're working with they work with the students. And we're very proud of that work because some of the things that we've heard throughout the pandemic, getting on calls with the commissioners, and because of what I'm going to yep. say, I won't mention the state, but a commissioner had just said, I just got off the phone with a principal, and they had a sixth grader commit suicide.
Oh.
And these are issues
that happens all the time.
They happen, but
horrible.
How do you deal with that, and what do you do with that? And so I had a very seasoned educator who was struggling with that. And if we can help and where we can help to reach out across the network to get those resources there to help this educator work through that, it's an honor to do that work.
Sure is, and it's a terrible story. And unfortunately, these days there's a rash of child suicide and teen suicide. And we work with a group called the Cook Center. You probably know them, thecookcenter.org. You want to check out that. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And we can't leave school districts and teachers and administrators dangling when that happens. This is not just for the family. It's a terrible thing for everybody involved. And, wow, it's just incredible. The other thing I want to ask you about, thank you for doing all that, okay, and you must be hearing about this, which we are very concerned about this, is teacher retention and recruitment. Okay, I just heard somebody told me the line that retention is the new recruitment. There just aren't enough teachers out there. Teachers are leaving their job. We know all that. What are you hearing on that one, Kimberly?
Yeah. Well, first of all, before I answer that, when you were talking about these topics, one of the things, and I do want to thank Danielle and her team, because she brings the centers. They bring the centers together where we can talk about this big picture. And so I have an issue, I have a need in one of my states. I can find out what's happening in another part of the country. I can connect my state with that state because states want to hear from each other. So I just really want to say thank you because I've been connected with comprehensive centers for a while, and the diligence of the U.S. Department of Ed to make sure that they're bringing us together to talk about these topics that are bubbling up daily. So I did want to say that.
Thank you for saying
that. In terms of teacher, In terms of retention, absolutely. It's a bigger issue now because teachers are being burned out. There are so many other things that are going on with them. And we work with several of our states trying to – let's call it a grow your own program, if you will. We have one of our students they're looking to not only retain and develop teachers, but keep them in the states. A lot of our states have rural areas, and one of the things that we know about rural areas are people want to stay there. And so a state wants to get to these people and develop them and grow them to keep them there. But we do work across many of our states to develop teacher effectiveness programs. In one of our states, we worked with them in terms of developing a framework for adult professional learning, and they're beginning a school report card with the state. So we're helping them not only bring in the best and the brightest, train the best and the brightest, but keep them.
It has never been more important than it is right now. This teacher retention challenge for the pandemic brought all this to the forefront, if I may say so, and it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. I wrote down as you were talking about this, the way I'm reading this is that, and I assume I can. Actually, I should ask Danielle. Let me ask Danielle this, and thank you, Kimberly. I just want to ask Danielle this question. The way Kimberly described it, I see the comprehensive centers. Okay, as the research arm for state departments of education, Is that a good way to explain this? Danielle, how do you see it?
I think that's definitely a helpful frame and the role that they can play in partnership with some of our other federally funded technical assistance programs. For example, we fund what we call the Regional Educational Laboratories, which also serve as a research arm of a state education agency, and they work together in partnership with the comprehensive centers. And what distinguishes the comprehensive center program is that they're not only bringing the research to the education agency. So, you know, when there's a research question, they can go out there and find what are the best practices, what does the research say about most effective solutions, here's some options for a state to consider. They also then work with the state to figure out how to put that research into practice. What would this look like incorporated into a state policy, or what could it look like? Once a state's decided, maybe they have a new program they're trying to implement, the center can help them think about what are the steps that you need to plan to effectively implement that program and make sure that you're measuring progress along the way so that you know if it's working or not, or whether we maybe need to make some adjustments along the way. So they really can provide that riding along with the implementation to provide that hand-to-hand support, on-the-ground support as they go to help states think, adjust their strategies, measure their effectiveness, and make sure that they're really bringing the best information to the programs and policies they're putting in place.
This is a fascinating part of the education world. I'm thrilled to know about this. I mean, it's incredible. So, Danielle, let me ask you: I just want to boil it down. Should a teacher, an individual teacher, should they ever get in touch with a comprehensive center, or is it strictly for the State Department of Education to get in touch with them? How's that little piece work?
Yes, it's a great question, and I think I'd be interested in hearing from Kimberly some of the folks that she's had reach out to her from within her state. We start with the state agency. So as Kimberly mentioned, the state chiefs, whether that's a commissioner or superintendent of education, whatever the title is, that's sort of considered the primary client. So we start at the top and ask them to then articulate who they'd like us to work with. Sometimes there's a group of districts that they want a center to support, and so they'll ask them to specifically work with that group of districts. But we want to make sure at least that the work that they're doing in any region is informed by the leadership at the state, and then they can work with school districts, they can work with regional service agencies within that state, they can work with tribal education agencies within that state, they can work with individual schools if that's what's needed. So there's a lot of flexibility within this program, and we really depend on our centers to partner with their state leadership to determine what kind of support is most needed. The resources are not unlimited, so there is a budget for this program that you know, limits what our centers are able to do.
Yeah,
but we do
here,
really appreciate
here,
that,
soon
that they can provide
real money.
But they're able to do a lot with the funding that we do have, and really provide support that's critical to meeting the needs of each state.
Wow, this is fascinating. All right, so Kimberly, tell me, what's the favorite thing you're working on now? Just do the favorite thing, okay? The thing that's striking you as the most interesting that you're working with your states.
Well, first of all, the question about if a teacher reaches out, we find them resources. If we can't do that, we look across the network. So around the equity topics, we work from the state down, but there are equity access centers to work at the district. So it's really easy to make a connection there and have that need met. So no need really is unmet. It just may be met by another service provider.
It's a beautiful network.
Go ahead.
I love it. It's a beautiful network.
It really is. It really is. And to answer your question, it's not so much a favorite. I mean, I love all the work that we do, but we're very excited and proud about our network improvement communities.
I was just going to ask you that. Go ahead, talk about it. Go for it. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, so, you know, we've kind of talked about how we connect out across the network. We talked about how we connect states to states outside of the region and also in the region. And one of the things within Region 5 that we're really proud of is our network improvement communities. And really what that is we apply principles of implementation science to improve student learnings in remote and hybrid learning. So basically, we work with them. We develop facilitator resources for educator leaders to support that continuous improvement. And we have those resources available on our website. We're working across our states currently where we have active, they bring a different topic area that they want to focus on. And we're working with them. They have the resources, and they're advancing that conversation. And with us knowing how to do this and who we work with, we're really excited about it because it helps us answer how can data and technology be used to improve student learning experience. And that's why we've done this and why we're so excited and honored that you're going to allow me to have some of my team come back on another show and talk about that in greater detail.
And I have to ask, the Network Improvement Community, which, again, if you want to learn more about that, it's very simple. I think it's region5compcenter.org/NIC. Okay, you can learn about it there. Is that just happening in Region 5, or is that in every region, or how's that shaken out? I'll start with Kimberly on that. Was that a Region 5 thing or a national thing, the NICs?
Well, we did not create Network Improvement Communities. It's been a process. It's been around. But we've adapted it to the needs of our region. And so what we're doing in the region is a little unique there. But, no, it has been around. And when you go to our resource page that you mentioned, others outside of our region can see those same resources, and they can use them, and they can work with their comprehensive center if they want to and or another person. So, no, it's not uniquely developed by us, but it's something that we've really been pushing forward and having great traction with.
Well, and Danielle, how's the NIC shake out among the other 18?
It's definitely a concept that I think is an effective strategy for bringing community members together to focus on developing solutions for a problem. And we see that through this network improvement community model at the local level. We also see that kind of model taking place at the national level. So, Larry, we mentioned previously that we have a national comprehensive center that serves to bring together states across the country.
Right.
So if you think about kind of at a high level, we're also creating what we're calling communities of practice, but it is essentially that same kind of a learning community that we're establishing for states across the country to come together and talk about common educational challenges. So this year, we're sponsoring three different communities of practice where state leaders and their partners are forming teams, coming together on a regular basis to talk with each other and national subject matter experts to share information about how they're approaching common challenges in their states. And they get to explore what the research base says to understand, you know, what do we know about what works? And then they get to work together to explore solutions that they can each apply in their own context. So they may bring a problem of practice to the conversation that they want to workshop with their colleagues. But it really is a space where we're creating a professional learning community for state leaders to really think about how they can solve critical issues in their own state. So this idea of communal learning and communal problem solving is one that we see works really well at all levels of our education system.
You know, what you're doing is, to just boil it down, it's for every state, why reinvent the wheel? Okay?
Exactly. The number one question that we get is, what are other states doing?
Exactly.
You know, no state wants to start from a blank slate. It's at least a great opportunity to see what other states may be trying or contemplating and think about how that could be applied in your own state's individual context, within your own state's laws, within your own state's needs and communities. So it's a really great model, one that we found to be really effective in bringing people together to learn and then take what they need from that experience.
my friend John White does it again. I can't believe I didn't know about any of this. And I would bet you a lot of my listeners didn't know about comprehensive centers either. I mean, this is key stuff. All right, it's just great. Danielle, okay, you'll come back, I hope, and continue talking with us about all the good stuff the Department of Education does. Okay, hold on.
Happy to.
My asthma hit for 1 second. Okay, and Kimberly, keep up the good work down there in Region 5. This is incredible. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Thank you.
I mean, really, it's just
thank you.
You had a great team down there. I encourage people to go over there and check this out. All right, and I'm sure that team is echoed in the other regions. It's really cool, and the whole thing is just, it's really fascinating to me. We're going to do more. So, Danielle, Kimberly, we got to go. I can't thank you enough. You guys both stay safe. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You
Bye.
Guys take care. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Wow. Thank you, John White. Okay. Wow. Danielle Smith from the Department of Education. All right. Kimberly Hambrick is director of the Region 5 Comprehensive Center. I learned a lot. Wow. Unbelievable. All right. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Ace-ed.org. All right. So please check all that out. You can see our teacher retention site. You can click on the menu, and you can also go to seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, John White. Thank you for listening.